Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. As we continue the Olivet Discourse, we are looking at the sermon, Jesus' sermon before he was crucified, as he was preaching and teaching to the disciples, just teaching them about the things that would be coming forth in the world and what the times would be like for the church with wars and rumors of wars and pestilences, all kinds of undesirable things taking place and the behaviors of human beings on the earth. The Lord, the first part of his Olivet Discourse was the fulfillment of the temple being destroyed in 70 AD. And then we looked at in Matthew chapter 24, we dealt with the abomination of desolations, an event that will take place that is future, that did not take place in 70 AD, that did not take place in Israel at the time. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD and the scattering of the Jews was done by the Roman Empire under the emperor of Titus, and the coming of the Lord from Matthew 24:15 has not taken place. That is still future. That is what we call the tribulation period. That's going to occur in the middle of the tribulation. Jesus was quoting from Daniel, what we find in Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. And the events that take place there, the abomination of desolation, where the temple will be desecrated, and the Jews are told to flee the city. As I said, the subtitle to my Olivet Discourse is The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Now, everything in the Bible is for the Church of God. It was for the Jew in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament and the New Testament combined are for the Church of God today, and we glean much insight from the Old Testament just as much as we do from the New Testament. I was always taught that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we see these events. Now, the abomination of desolation is specifically toward the Jews, the temple, the new temple that will be built and constructed. I believe it will be constructed in a time of the tribulation period. And now I could be wrong. We may see it happen in our time frame, but I believe it will be after the pre-tribulation rapture and not before. But I believe there will be plenty of time before, after the pre-tribulation rapture, to build the temple and to begin the sacrifices and the oblations, and then for the peace treaty with the Antichrist. And then when he backs out of the peace treaty and declares himself to be gone at the end or in the middle of the tribulation period, and that is when the Jews are told to flee. Now, specifically, like I said, from Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 to verse 26 is specifically directed to the Jews. Though they don't believe it, they don't read the Bible today, it's the believers that will be witnessing these things. And during the tribulation period, you have the 144,000 witnesses. You have the two witnesses that will be in Jerusalem specifically, and they will have tremendous power, but they will be defeated by the Antichrist. And they will be preaching on these things. They will be telling Israel to repent, to embrace Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah. They will be rejected by many of the Jews, but many of the Jews will be converted at this very moment when these things that were predicted and prophesied and taught by these witnesses takes place. They will know that it is true, that the event is truthful. And if they don't flee and for their own lives with the clothing on their backs, they will perish and they will be killed. And the book of Zechariah tells us that 2/3 will perish. Only 1/3 will flee into the wilderness. And as I said before, the wilderness, I believe they will flee to the Red Rock city of Petra, which is a naturally fortified city in the desert, in the wilderness south of the Dead Sea. And so now we're into the seven parables of the Olivet Discourse. And I want to deal with the first parable, the fig tree. So let's look at in the scriptures here, see what the Word of God says. Verse 32, Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so what is this parable of the fig tree? What is the Lord teaching here? When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So the fig tree reviving after 1900 years after Jesus cursed it, just before he ascended the Mount of Olives to preach. Jesus is speaking exclusively to the Church of God. Only they have the spiritual wherewithal to comprehend this parable. So specifically, this parable and all the parables that we will be reading about are directed to the Church of God, to the believers, to the saints. And the fig tree is referring to Israel, to Jerusalem, but it is the Jews would not comprehend this. But we see that this event, it has been fulfilled. Now, let's go back a little bit in Scripture to chapter 21 of the book of Matthew. Jesus' second time cleansing the temple. And that's an interesting thing to realize. I remember it was something that really stood out in my mind when I really understood that Jesus cleansed the temple twice, at the beginning of his ministry that we read about in the book of John, and then we read about at the end of his ministry, he again cleansed the temple, and we see that in the latter part of Jesus' ministry here on this earth. So Jesus' second time cleansing the temple, and his discussion of what the temple and Jerusalem had become, a haven for corruption. And Jesus left the temple after he purged it of those who sold doves and the money changers. The Bible says here, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And that is a picture of Jerusalem. This first parable alludes to Jerusalem and the Jews, but not necessarily the temple coming back as a viable city with Jewish inhabitants at the end of the church age. However, the fig tree does not bear fruit, nor does Jerusalem. Israel is still in its transgressions and unbelief. Summer speaks of the coming kingdom. In Luke's account of the Olivet Discourse, he adds these words of Jesus. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Ye here is speaking to the saved saints, the church of God, not to the Jews, for they cannot spiritually see these things come to pass until the abomination of desolation physically falls upon them. And what they remember from the witnesses is all they're going to be able to comprehend. They're barely going to have anything in their hands. They are told to flee, and they need to run and hightail it out of the city of Jerusalem and into the wilderness. Now, what was this particular event? Well, this event was this is a picture of the reestablishment of Israel in 1948. I believe that's speaking to that specific event, that Jerusalem, Israel, the Jews coming and reoccupying Israel, reoccupying Jerusalem. And so we see this fig tree coming back to life, but it's not bearing fruit yet. And it won't until the Lord Jesus comes back. But interesting thing here in the scriptures, where it says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, what does that word generation mean? When we think of the word generation, and our definition, we think of a generation of people. We think, well, you have the adults and children. That's a generation of separation between the adults and the children. And that is our comprehension. But the Lord also, and in the definition of the word generation, it can also be said to be an age. It can speak of an age. In this particular usage of the word generation, it speaks of the church age. So this generation or this church age shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. And so listen to a quote from Robert Govett. He says, our days of the mysteries are the world's wintry period of coldness, darkness, and slipperiness. Then the times of refreshing and of Jesus' presence in the manifest kingdom of God are at hand. So this summer, when the summer is nigh, that's speaking of that summer, that's speaking of the kingdom age coming into existence. And you have to understand, there are people who believe that Jesus came again in 70 AD, and they call themselves preterists. They believe much of the Book of Revelation has been fulfilled. Much of these prophecies of the second coming of Christ has been fulfilled. And they exist. You can hear them on the internet. And preterists, the word preter comes from the Latin word meaning past. And they believe in the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ has already been fulfilled. And I don't believe that. I don't accept that. I believe this word generation. You have to look at a different definition of the word generation, and that it means the church age. Because they thought, well, that meant when Jesus said that, this generation shall not pass, it means all those who were hearing him speak, his disciples, and that particular generation of people in existence, so just one generation of people, as we use the word in our vernacular today, that would just say that these things should have already been fulfilled and that Jesus came a second time before any of those men died or shortly after they were martyred. And that is not correct. That is not an acceptable explanation for that expression there, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. And we have to understand words have many different definitions, even in the English language. We have words that have changed over time, their definition. Definitions have changed with words, and the dictionary is constantly adding new words and new definitions to words every year. We learn about that at the end of every year. We learn about the new words that have been put into the Webster Dictionary. And so words constantly change in a active language. Why do they call the Latin a dead language? Because nobody uses it. No civilization uses Latin as a language, and therefore the definitions of the words are fixed. They don't change over time. The Apostle Peter's second sermon after Pentecost speaks of this refreshing. This refreshing speaks of the coming of the kingdom of God. That speaks of the summertime. But first came Christ's suffering, which the Jews did not comprehend. The book of Acts says in chapter 3, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath also fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. That speaks of that summer, the kingdom rest, from the presence of the Lord, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Some of your older commentaries from the 1800s, they talk about, they don't call the second coming the second coming. They call it when the Lord is present, his presence, when he comes and his presence is with us. They use the Greek word parousia. In verse 35, the words of Christ will endure forever, even after this present earth and heaven vanishes after the millennial age, implying that they are always relevant for all ages. And so we have to understand this portion, the temple being, let's just go back for a second. The temple was destroyed. That was prophesied at the beginning of the Olivet Discourse. Jerusalem, the Jews, and Jerusalem would be desolate. The Jews would be scattered. And then this particular part of the parables has been fulfilled, that the fig tree, the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. So it's no longer withered. It's starting to come back to life. We have seen that since 1948 when Israel was declared a nation. And that was a major event in the presidency of Harry Truman, who accepted and embraced that to be a reality. And we gave our endorsement as a nation that Israel was now back in their land. And now, doesn't mean Jerusalem was their capital. There was much conflict around Jerusalem. There was much warring going on after they declared that. And it took a few years to come to a peace agreement for Israel to dwell there. But even to this very day, there has always been conflict between the Arabs and the Israelites there in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem and in the whole land. And but it does not bear fruit at this particular time. So let's look at the second parable, the parable regarding Noah. This is the days of Noah, as I would call it, the days of Noah. Scripture says here in verse 36, "But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so that little portion, those few verses there speaking about the coming of the Lord, will be as in the days of Noah. Jesus is answering the question that we posed earlier on in this series of what shall be the sign of thy coming. The return of the Lord is a great mystery and eludes any attempt to set a date. Even though date setters have existed and utterly failed in their predictions, making a fool of themselves and casting dispersion upon the church and her faithful saints. And so we have to understand that no man knows that hour. And there have been men who are godly men who just, for some reason or another, decided they were going to try to predict when the Lord would return. And they get public attention, they get media attention, and they have to eat their words. We read in the book of Acts, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" So the Lord here is reiterating the fact about his return. "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power." So not only in the Olivet Discourse, but just before the Lord ascended into the clouds, he also reiterated the fact about the coming of the Lord. And that is in the Father's hands. And he will make that determination. "So the flood of Noah's day came suddenly, but not without ample warning. Noah preached, but Noah was only able to save his own household." Noah preached for 100 years. It took 100 years to build that ark. And he preached. He was a faithful preacher. It says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We read in the Heroes of Faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And so what is interesting about this and how the coming of the Lord is going to be a sudden event, and there will be warning. There's ample warning about it, but people will ignore it. People will go on with their daily lives, And then the time will fall upon them suddenly. Creation scientists have estimated that there's a good possibility that there could have been 6 billion people on the face of the earth at the time of Noah, before the flood, because people lived longer. Mortality was very low. It was almost 2,000 years of time. And so the population growth was explosive in that period of time. And there could have easily been 6 billion people on the face of the earth, and only 8 people were saved. And what is interesting about that, when God loaded up Noah and the animals, and they all loaded up onto the ark, God closed the door. And there was a 7-year period of time, that there was a 7-day week, a lapse of time before the destruction. And then the destruction came about suddenly. And there are some who predict that the destruction took place so suddenly that the people died almost instantly, within hours, just a few hours at the most. The earth undulated and rapidly, the Bible says, the fountains of the deep opened up, and the heavens unleashed huge amounts of water. There was possibly a good chance there was a water vapor around the earth that protected the earth from solar radiation that allowed the extension of life on earth. And that released, and the rain just came down in buckets. The earth started undulating, moving, and that people were killed suddenly. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Pompeii and other events that have taken place, there was just sudden death and destruction. But God gave ample warning, but people didn't heed those warnings. They ignored them. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And everyday events, as people were going to work, people were marrying, giving into marriage, banqueting, and just going to parties and just living it up and going to their beach house. And all of a sudden, the world just came unglued, and the earth came unglued, and people died and perished suddenly. And all that mocking of Noah and his sons as they were building that ark, they had to eat those words. And so it was that's what the world will be like. When the rapture takes place, the pre-tribulation rapture takes place, there will be unbelievable amount of carnage on the earth. There will be wars, many wars. There will be the animal kingdom. It tells us in Revelation chapter 6, the animal kingdom will turn on the humans, turn on mankind, and destroy them. And there will be great carnage, great death. And it tells us that a quarter of the earth, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a quarter of the earth will perish. You read the four books of, or the four horsemen in Revelation chapter 6, and you will have famine, you will have pestilence, you will have war, and you will have, there will be the death by animals, the wild beasts of the earth. And so it will be just a time of great hardship and suffering. And I believe believers who are not raptured out will be converted, come to Christ, that they will be martyred one way or the other in the tribulation period. There will be many converted to Christ, and there will be those who will not take the mark of the beast, but they will be beheaded. So it will be a great time of suffering for humankind during that period of time. And so these warnings are out there in the scriptures, but they're highly ignored. If you listen to preachers that speak on these things and take account of their soul and turn to Christ and repent and come to faith, a saving faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they ignore these things, they mock, they ridicule, but one day they will not. They will be weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth as they suffer not only the sudden death, but then their soul being tormented in hell. And so it is just amazing these events that will take place in sometime in the future. And we will follow this up with more of these parables. Hope you will listen with us again the following Sunday as we continue these discussions on the parable, the seven parables of the Olivet Discourse.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.